good to my ears and God's ears, more importantly. It doesn't matter what we sound like to each other. What matters is that we praise God and we worship Him in truth and in spirit. But thank you, Ben, for the song service. Tonight's lesson is going to be on James chapter 3 about speaking in the tongue. And of course, just a minute ago, I couldn't put my words together, but it's important to be able to speak from the Word of God in truth. And when we read James chapter 3, not only do we read about the tongue and the consequences that come from our speech, but we also can read and understand the good things that can come out of our speech. And Brother Paul made a good point on Friday when we studied James chapter 3 about the good things that we can say to each other, the comments that we could make, and the things that we can say to lift our day, the good things that can come. And so when we let's start in Colossians 4, but we're going to be studying mainly from James chapter 3. So if you open your Bibles, you can keep your finger on James chapter 3. But to start out, Colossians 4, 6. And it reads in Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer each one." And so we can read in James about the tongue and the consequences, both positive and negative, that come from the tongue. One of the most difficult things we will do is to be able to bridle the tongue. And it will require constant effort. When reading about the tongue, we understand the tongue is a restless evil in which no man can tame. That's what we read in James 3. Does this mean that we have an excuse to give up on controlling our tongue? Do we have a free pass when it comes to insults, foul language, gossip, teaching an error? And brethren, the list goes on. And so I listened to a lesson regarding James chapter 3, and we should never stop putting the effort to control our tongue. And a preacher gave an analogy about a coach teaching his players. And he said, "We will always strive to be perfect, but we will never reach perfection, but we will reach greatness along the way." Some of you may have heard that saying. But brethren, we know man cannot tame the tongue, but never use that as an excuse. I believe the tongue can be controlled, and the Bible teaches us so. We must put in constant effort to control the tongue. And we could read in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and it reads, "Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work." And we could read also in Matthew 19, 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Brethren, we read, "With God all things are possible." And so all scripture is profitable for teaching, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that we may be complete, for every good work. For every work that is good, the scripture has been given to us. And we are complete with God's Word. And God's Word gives us instruction for our speech. And we could read in Proverbs and Psalms how we are to speak one to another. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one." Colossians 4, 6. And so with our speech, we communicate one to another. We greet one another, and we teach one another. We just had a meeting this morning, or after the morning services, about teaching and teachers. Teaching is our first warning and James chapter 3. And so we read in James 3, verse 1. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. And so when reading about our speech in James 3, the first thing we read is that not many of us should become teachers. However, we read in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, that all Christians are to teach the gospel. And so everyone is commanded to teach the gospel in Matthew 28. And it cannot be a contradiction for us to read, not everyone is to teach the gospel. And so, brethren, we are to teach. And we do so in any capacity that we can, whether it be in one-on-one, small group settings, or through Bible class in the pulpit. We teach wherever we have the opportunity. The command is for all Christians, and not just the teacher, or the elders and deacons, or the evangelist. But we read the context. That is, the teacher will receive a stricter judgment. What we teach not only affects us, but those who we teach. And we need to be careful with our speech and what we teach. And so how well prepared are we in teaching the gospel? What we teach needs to be pleasing to God. And we can read in 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15, and it reads, But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. And so we're told to sanctify our hearts as to place ourselves as full servants of the Lord. We're told always to be ready to give a defense. And so, brethren, are you prepared to be able to, with sound speech, teach the gospel? If you're not prepared, what's going to happen when you teach? Sometimes, brethren, you only get one chance to teach someone the truth. And we need to strive, we need to get it right the first time, because you may not get a second chance, a second opportunity to teach that person the truth. And so let us continue in verse 2. For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Brethren, in perfect tense, we all stumble, and we will continue to stumble. However, this is no reason to make excuses for our mistakes. And so we will stumble in many things. But if we do not stumble in word, if we do not stumble with our tongue, we read that man is a perfect man who is able to control the whole body also. That man is mature, especially regarding the Christian character. And if a mature man who is complete in the Christian character can control his tongue, he will be able to control his whole body also. He'll be able to control every aspect of his life. And so an immature man will not be able to do so. An immature man will stumble in his speech. And so it will require constant work on the part of the Christian to reach maturity. That man should strive to make his first priority to control his tongue. It is not possible to do what we read, brethren. It is not impossible to do what we read. Sorry, that was a slip of the tongue there. It is not impossible. We read in Psalm 19, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Where do our words come from? When we speak, our words come from our hearts. If our hearts are hard, our words will be hard. If our hearts are soft, our words will be soft. Rather than in times of anger, if we lose our self-control, our hearts will want to hurt an individual. And we will intentionally harm them with our tongue. How is this acceptable to the Lord? Instead, meditate on whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. Meditate on these things, as what we read in Philippians chapter 4. What we read regarding controlling our tongue is possible. And so we've been provided illustrations. And an illustration in verse 3. Now if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Verse 3. And so how large is a bridle? A bridle bit. A horse weighs approximately 1,200 pounds, and a bridle bit is approximately 5 inches. And so a small 5-inch bit put into the horse's mouth will not only be able to control the mouth of the horse or the head, but the whole body. The bit will control every aspect of the horse. And so we can see how this illustration ties in with verse 2. If a man can bridle his tongue, he will be able to bridle the whole body also. How amazing it is, something small, so small as 5 inches, can control the entire horse. Likewise, brethren, this tongue is small compared to the body, but it can control the entire body. With the bridle, the horse responds to pressure. The horse responds to pressure in a direction the rider wants it to go. And with our tongue bridled, how do we respond to pressure? How do we respond with our tongue when we are in a confrontation? How do we respond with our tongue when we read about social media, what we read in social media? How do we respond with our tongue when we lose our temper? Brethren, the point is, do we know when it is where we need to bite our tongue, so to speak? And so the illustration continues in verse 4. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. The rudder is small compared to the size of the ship, yet it steers the ship through fierce winds. The rudder is what directs the ship towards its course. And so just as a jockey can control the horse with a bridle, the steersman can control the ship with the rudder. Brethren, we're provided another illustration in verse 4. The tongue will lead us in the direction we want it to go. It is possible for the tongue, for us to control the tongue, which will lead us in a direction we want to go. God is using illustrations to teach us it is possible. If we can master the tongue, we can master the body, the entire body. And so let's continue in verse 5. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. Brethren, just as we are provided illustrations of what great things you can do with the tongue, we're also provided illustrations on the consequences of a failure to control the tongue. And so in verse 3 and 4, the rider can control the horse and doing anything you want it to do. You can make it sit, turn left, turn right, stay still. You can make it pull, and you can turn it into a workhorse. And likewise, a ship with a rudder can sail from one continent to the next. It could be used to deliver foods and goods, and it was used to explore the world and discover new lands. Brethren, the tongue is a little member of the body, but it boasts great things. So what we read in the prior verses is that there is control over the small thing, which is controlling the larger thing. The horse's bridle controls the horse, which we use to make it do what we want it to do. And the ship's rudder steers the ship, the entire ship, which the steersman uses to make the ship go where he wants it to go. But what if there's no control over that little thing? When a spark ignites a fire, there is a complete lack of control. And we could all remember the last couple of years, the effect of the forest fires, just less than 2 years ago. Once a fire ignites, man can use every resource he has to get the fire under control. However, oftentimes he must wait until either rain or the weather to contain that fire. And Brother Bill would be the person to speak to tell you the difficulties to contain that wildfire. Every wildfire started with a spark. And so how many times has a fire started after an innocent campfire, roasting marshmallows, but left unattended for just one moment? Or enjoying fireworks, but a lack of supervision for just one of them? Brethren, we can keep our tongue under control for a period, but once a spark comes out, we've started something we had no intention of starting. And so how many of you have started an argument and couldn't stop it once it started? How many of you have said something at work or at school or with anybody with no intention of harm, complete ignorance in what we stated, and it started a controversy? And how far did that controversy go? How far did that argument go? And so with our tongue, not only do we communicate verbally, but what about social media? When we're scrolling on the internet, how easy it is to scroll directly to the comments. And brethren, in my best judgment, social media in one aspect is divisive and full of evil speaking. And I'm not talking about keeping in touch with friends and keeping in touch with family, but social media is open to the world. How easy it is to say something to someone without thinking about the consequences. What is stated on social media can be damaging. But brethren, words don't come out of nowhere. It takes someone on the other end of the computer to control what is stated. And brethren, we will be judged by every idle word that we speak. Matthew 12:36. And so it's easy to write about political beliefs, which can turn into railing and cursing with the click of one button. And once you hit submit, it's out to the world to see. And what a domino effect one statement can steer a conversation, whether it be with our tongue or with social media or in the written form. And so the tongue is a fire. It can destroy our entire body. We read in verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. Among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell." Not only can the tongue destroy our own bodies, but it can damage the body of Christ. False teaching is taught with the tongue, brethren. We read in Scripture warnings about false teachers. In 2 Peter 2:1, we read, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." And so we read there are false teachers among the brethren. And these false teachers do not openly bring in false doctrine, but secretly. Oftentimes there are lies covered in half-truths, which makes it harder to detect. And so what happens when a little leaven comes into the body? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. What is taught, if taught in error, will not only destroy the individual teaching, but will also damage the congregation and anyone who accepts that teaching. If I teach on the wrong side of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, how will someone come to repentance if they're in an unscriptural marriage? If I teach on the wrong side of alcohol, how will someone come to repentance if they openly drink? If I teach on the wrong side of brethren, you fill in the blank, how will they come to repentance? And what will that person teach? And what will the next person teach? And then the next. What a ripple effect it has. When we read in Acts 2:47, we read about perfect unity. There was a time in the church where there was perfect unity, and the teaching was the same, all from the apostles' teachings, which was from the authority of Christ. But it wasn't long until we read about the plea for unity and warnings against false doctrine. And so where do these come from? We read, it is set on fire by hell. Satan works through men, and men use flattering words. We read in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the innocent. Brethren, you can make anything sound good with smooth speech. You give it enough flattering words, it's going to sound good. If you give false teaching enough flattering words, people will believe it. But it doesn't change the fact that it still comes from Satan. And what is set on fire by hell. And Brother Joe gave an excellent lesson this morning on hell. When we read verse 7 and 8, we must not use these verses as an excuse to believe we cannot control our tongue. It reads, "For every kind of beast and birds of creeping things and the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison." Every animal has been tamed by man. And so what does it mean that no man can tame the tongue? Brethren, we cannot deny the scripture. And so if mankind can tame every kind of animal, beast and birds and creeping things and things in the sea, how can no man tame the tongue? We just read scripture in the first few verses. Man can control the tongue. We were provided with illustrations how man can control the tongue. Yet we read no man can tame the tongue. And so, brethren, scripture cannot contradict itself. But what happens when you put God into the equation? Matthew 19:26 reads, "But with God, all things are possible." Brethren, with God, all things are possible. We read in Psalms and Proverbs instruction and teachings about our speech and how much influence our speech has. Proverbs 13:3 reads, "He that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." And we could read in Psalm 141:3, "Set a watch over Jehovah before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." We read scripture which teaches us to speak to glorify God in all that we do, including with our tongue. It is possible to control the tongue if you put God into the equation. No man can, but with God all things are possible. We read in verse 2, "If any man does not stumble in word, he is a mature man." Brethren, we must live according to the word of God and allow it to complete us into maturity. Others should see God glorified through us. With God, this is possible, even through the tongue. In so doing, you must be diligent. If you train your dog, can you just open your front door and let your dog loose and feel comfortable without facing the consequences? No, we can't do that. And so how comfortable can we be with our tongue? If we've been doing great with our tongue and with our speech in the last 3 days, can we just open the front door and let it loose? Brethren, we can't remove the horseman from the bridle on the horse. And we can't remove the steersman from the rudder on the ship. Let's see what happens to the horse when this happens. And let's see what happens with the ship when there is no control, even for a moment, against fierce winds. That ship's going to be thrown off course. Without a steersman, that ship, let that ship sail a day, and let's see how wide its path becomes to its own destruction. There's never a point where we think we could let our control off and be comfortable with it. And so in verse 9 and 10, it reads, "Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." Brethren, when we read, we bless the Lord and Father, and we curse men made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth. How do we feel? And so each of these examples may not explicitly describe each of our behaviors, but brethren, I'm guilty of some of these behaviors. And it makes me sick to my stomach. And so how many of us have praised God during Sunday morning service and then left the assembly and read the front page of the paper and cursed politicians? What about how many of us have went to God in prayer and then cursed the news media? What about how many of us have sang a song? "We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again." And then left the assembly, and with our same mouth, we wish ill will toward man. These things ought not so to be. And so don't hear what I'm not saying. We can disagree with man, and we have our own opinions, and we should be independent thinkers. But we are not to curse man. We are to pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." And so do not use the tongue for praising God, for glorifying God, and then use the same tongue to curse man. And so let us continue. Verse 11 and verse 12 ties directly into the point, and it reads, "Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives or vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet." Brethren, it's against its own nature for the same fountain to send forth both sweet and bitter water. How many of you would go to a spring and 9 times out of 10, that water bring forth good water, but the 10th time, it brings forth sewage? Would you drink from it? No, we would not. And so let us guard our speech, so no filthy words ever proceed out of our mouths. What we say matters, brethren. Man will be judged by every idle word, It matters what we say, even when no one is around. It matters what we say, even when we say it to ourselves. It matters what we say in response to social media. And when we lose our temper, we can't just go into the woods and yell and curse to cool down. We're going to be judged by those words we speak, even when no one is around. And so the tongue will lead you in a direction you want it to go if controlled, or in a direction you do not want to go if uncontrolled. Matthew 12:36 reads, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Matthew 12:36. Brethren, we will give an account for our words we speak, which were not put into good, for accomplishing good, for glorifying God. When we teach, let us be prepared to teach accurately. Let us be prepared to teach accurately the gospel and give an account to anyone who asks. When we speak, let us not stumble in our speech or with our words. When we speak, let us control our tongues as a horseman controls the bridle and the steersman controls the rudder. When we speak, let us not spark a fire. When we speak, let us not set a ripple effect and harm the body of Christ. Let us not allow Satan to overtake us with our speech. He works through men. Let us not become comfortable with our tongue and let it loose at any moment in time. And let us not bless God and curse men with the same mouth. Brethren, let us preach the gospel. And finishing out, let us preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it reads. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, "Now I make known to you, unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Our very faith is based on the resurrection of Christ. And so, brethren, if you've heard the word, Romans 10:17, believe the word, Hebrews 11:6. Are ready to repent, Acts 17:30, and confess, Matthew 16:16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and are ready to be baptized, Acts 2:38, and live a life faithfully, Revelation 2:10. Please come forward while we stand and sing.